He wasn't.
Who else, Rabbi Becker?
Yeah, go ahead.
I read Rabbi Solomon is again not well. Did you hear that?
No. But the Mitz should be a full Shlema for a very important person in Klal Yisrael. Okay. There's somebody who went to the Ger Rebbe, to the Imri Emes, and said that he finds the summer very depressing because you learn all of these parshas and Klal Yisrael is, we're going to have today the Asafsuf, the people who want meat, they want this, they want that. And it sort of casts Klal Yisrael in the negative light. And he says, depressed the whole summer, parsha after parsha. So the Imri Emes said, what a madrega this man is on, that this gets him down. But he said that Adarabi, we have to look at all of the averas as things that we would actually consider mitzvahs. We wouldn't even see the averas. But we look at here in the Shir is fascinating insights that we can learn from the Dordea and all of the things that they did and see the Dakas, look and see how the little things that they did was considered something that needed correction, and we can learn for it in our a million levels down in our own lives. So the beginning of the parsha, we start out, Baloischa is a neiros. Moshe Rabbeinu gets the tzivui. Vedaber Hashem al Moshe Leimer. Daber al Bnei Yisrael. Daber al Aaron v'Yamarta. Love Baloischa is a neiros. When you light the menorah, El Mul Hamenorah Yair Shiva is a neiros. When you light, you should light the lights in the menorah. So there's a famous Rashi that Lama Nismecha Parshas Hamenorah LaParshas Nesim. What does the Parshas Menorah have to do with the Parsha Nesim, which was the last thing we learned in Parshas Naso? Remember that all those psukim about all the Nesim, all 96 psukim. What do they have to do with each other? Why did one come right after the other one? It says, Kishiro Aaron, when Aaron saw Chanukas and Nesim, he saw the Nesim, we're all bringing these karbonis with the lavers, with the this and that, the gold and the silver. It was Chol Shadaitu, he felt bad. Shalohoya Iman, he wasn't giving it, but Chanuk, Lohu, Lo Shiftu, not him and not his Shavit. Armelah Kosh Baruch Hashem said, Chayecha, by your life, Shulcha G'dayla Mishlam, yours is bigger. Shamat Madlik Umeitiv Asaneris, because you light the candles, and therefore yours is bigger. So Frek the Ramban and the other Meforshim, in what way is lighting the candles bigger than bringing carbon to the Siyam? They're both big. Why is one bigger? It says yours is bigger. So the Ramban answers, a famous answer, that you're talking about Chanukah, the Chanukah menorah, and that the karbanas in the Siyam was only for a limited amount of time, for the 420 years of one base of Mikdash, 410 years of the other base of Mikdash, that's it. And the court in Mishkan Shiloh, and where the Mishkan was, okay. But other than that, there wasn't more karbanas, and the Siyam only had a certain amount. Whereas Aaron would be a fabic. Aaron would be forever, because the Chanukah Baruch Hashem, to this day, we're lighting Chanukah menorah. So that's what he learns. Glinsky has a different mahalach. It's something that we've talked about, and I'd like to say it, because there's a couple of chidushim I'd like to add to it, a few insights. The Gemara says that he once went to visit Rav Shach. Zatzal. And Rav Shach said, Zog Epis, say something. So he said like this. It says, Gemara in Brachas, Dav Hei Amid Beis, that Rebbe Lazar got sick. So Rabbi Yochanan, who was famous for his Kedusha, his beauty and his Kedusha, went Levakroi. Rami's Garib Beis awful. He saw he was laying down in a dark room. Gal Yeladare, so he uncovered, it says his right, it seems uncovered his arm. Benafel Nahira, and the whole room was filled with light. Gila's right and smell of Baisara. So he says that's what happened. Because he saw he was laying in a dark place. So the question is, if Rabbi Yochanan was so holy and so great, as soon as he walked into the room, his face shone with greatness. So why did it light up from his face? Why did it have to wait until he uncovered his arm for the entire room to fill with light? It says, V'yesh lish of v'chipanav shal Rabbi Yochanan l'arkanik Yisrael. So he says there's a lesson, there's a tremendous lesson that we learn here. Shema shemuster hu shemeyer. Something which is hidden, that's what lights up the most. Something which is hidden, that's where the real light of the Kedusha is. It says, in a matter of fact, it says in the there was the light in the Sheish Mei Reishis. Hashem hid it with tzaddikim. Hid it for tzaddikim, lost it lovely. So Pashup Shad is, lost it lovely means in the time of Mashiach. But they also learn that tzaddikim have that light. But it's muster, it's hidden. There's a hidden light. And that's what we talk about. The Zohar is the hidden light. We talk about the Kabbalah. Chachmas Amos is the hidden part of the Torah. So the hidden is where, that's what's Meir. So he says, that's the difference between Aaron HaKoyen and the Nisim. That's which the Nisim did was in public. It was in the public realm. It was out there that everybody could see, right? They're being karbonis. And you're getting a lot of credit for it. Whereas what Aaron did was private, was behind closed doors, was inside of the Mishkan. That's what it means. Ten gedolim shalohem. Yours is greater than theirs, because yours is in private and theirs is in public. What's the difference between private? Why is that such a choshev azach? So he brings over, he says, Rav Shach answered him. He says, I'd also like to say something about this. And he brings a story. And the Gemara brings, it's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, Kishachala Rav Yaisi ben Kisma. When Rabbi Yaisi ben Kisma became sick, this is unfortunately stories of people who are sick. Hala Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan Levak. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan came to visit him. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan, you might be familiar with, who was one of the Sarhuru Gemalchus. So Amr Loi, Chanina Achi. He said to him, Chanina, my brother, Iyat Yodea, don't you know? Because he knew that Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan was teaching Torah. And he was going out in public and teaching Torah. It says, Yati Yodea Sheumazum in Hashemayim Him Lichua. Don't you know that this nation, meaning the Romans. The Romans, don't you know that Umazum in Hashemayim Lichu, the Romans were made to rule over us? Shekriva is based on, they can destroy the base of Migdash. Vesarf is Chaykhalai. Vehargu is Chasidav. Vida is Taiviv. You see, this is terrible. Why are you going and doing this? You're putting yourself such a kana. So he said, Hashem will guard me. So he says, I'm telling you Dvarim Shel Tam, and you're giving me an answer like that? So they left it a little like that. Then he asks them, says Rav Chanina ben Tradyan, he asks them, he says, tell me, to Rabbi Yaisi ben Kisma, he says, Mani l'chai olam haba? Am I going to get to olam haba? So he says, "Klum ma'isa b'al yadecha." What? Tell me something that you did good. What'd you do good? So he tells him a story like this. He says, "One time it was Purim, and I mixed up the Purim money with the tzedakah money, and I didn't know how to do it. And I ended up paying for my own, and I, you know, took care of it on my own, and I didn't rely on a kula on how to do it." So he says, "Ooh, you did such a thing." It says, "In kain michelki yichelki umigarolchi yegaroli." That's the case. From your chelik should be my chelik, and from your garol should be my garol, because you did such an amazing thing that you didn't use. You know, you didn't go into a suffix with tzedakah money. You went and you did it right away. Ah, gevaldik. Ah, that's tremendous. So the same kasha said Rav Shach, the same kasha. Here, Rav Chanina ben Tradyan is teaching Torah to thousands of people. So Yaisen Kiss has to say, tell me something you did good? What's the shot? What do you mean? He's teaching 30,000 people. The answer is, he said, what did you do that nobody knows about? You did it in front of all these people? Everybody says, what a hero. Well, he was Maisa Nefesh. He was a great person.
If you give it without a name, it's more
right, exactly. He's a great person. Here, you did it, nobody knew about it. That's what's going to get into Olam Haba. He says, that's the difference between all these things. We once told the story, if you remember, of Rav Shach himself, that Rav Shach was once sitting with the man who took care of Rav Shulik, he says his name, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it properly. And he said, "Oi, when am I going to come to Olam Haba?" So he said the same thing. He says, "Rebbe, thousands of Talmidim." He says, "Eh." He says, "A safer, Mamish, the whole world learns you safer." He goes, "Eh." He says, "You're the head of Mamish, the head of Matzah Gedalei HaTorah, my goodness Yisrael." So he says, "Rebbe, I don't understand. With all that, what are you worried about?" He says, "For that, I already got paid. That I got plenty of covered for. I'm wondering, what have I done that nobody knows about that's going to get me into Olam Haba?" He says from the Chofetz Chaim, says, "Why do we hold Schar Mitzvah Bahai Al Malekah? Why can't you get your reward in this world? Why do we go to the next world? Why does it have to? Why can't you get reward in this world?" It says, because it says in Chazal, "Yofesh Shal Achas Shal Kairos Ruach." But Olam Haba, Yaisi Mikol Chai Olam Hazeh. 1 hour of Kairos Ruach, of Geshmak, in Olam Haba is worth all of Olam Hazeh. So he says, there's no way you can be paid in this world. There's no way, because Gashmi is, you can't get enough toys, you can't get enough cars or yachts or food, there's nothing. But there's one thing you could be paid with in this world that can eat up your Olam Haba. You know what that one thing is? Kavod. Because kavod is ruchnius. Kavod is something that's not gashmius. I can't have enough steaks or enough ice cream or enough sandwiches to be worth, but kavod. Kavod is that. And that, says the Chofetz Chaim, that you got to worry about. If you get too much of that, then you have to start worrying if it's going to affect, it could take away from what you have. And that's a very difficult thing. So he says, we learn in the Gemara, it says, La'asad Lavai, it's a Gemara in Bava Basit of Ayin Heyam and Aleph, it says, La'asad Lavai, in the future world, call Echad Ve'echad Nichva Michupasa Shachavero. Everybody is going to be burned from the chuppah of his chaver. Everybody will be burned from his friend's chuppah in the future. So what does that mean? So he says, the Gedolei and the Vardik explain, what's chuppah? Chuppah is the Indian of kisui, of covering. It says, lechaifetz, to cover something up. So he says, everyone's going to be mistired that they weren't smart enough to cover up their great deeds. And when the time comes, they're going to be jealous that the other one knew to cover it up and they didn't know to cover it up. So I had a thought that, you know, by the Yakish community, I think by the Sephardim, they put a talus by the chuppah,
they put
a talus over the chosin, right, and the kala. So Pashup Shad is to make them into one unit. I was thinking, maybe according to this, maybe to teach them a lesson, that you have to cover up. Everything that happens between you now is private. Nothing goes out. When you talk to each other, nothing should be going out to the world. You are now a unit together, and the chup is covered, the talus covers them up to teach them the lesson of not everything you do is now a unit between the two of you, and it should not become public into the world. And maybe that's a little bit how we understand it. So it says that we find by Nag brings one more case to show this concept. It says that we know that in Tanit Ve'Elyo it says Amr Elyo Navi. Elyo Tanit Ve'Elyo is the medrash that is the wisdom of Eliyahu HaNavi. It's called Tana Deve Eliyahu, the Tana of the Deve Eliyahu, the house, the academy of Eliyahu. It says, Amr Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi said, Made in Lai, Esa Shemayin Vesaretz, I should be made, the Shemayin Aretz will be testifying, Ben Yisrael, Ben Nachir, Yid or Goy, Ben Ish, Ben Isha, man or a woman, Ben Eved, Ben Shivcha, a maidservant, a manservant, Hakol of Yamaisa, Shuaisa, that everything is according to what you do. So where do we see this? That no matter it's what you do and how you do it, it doesn't matter who you are. He says we see this by Devarah. Devarah was known as a Neviah. And to become a Neviah, to become a Navi, you have to be, says the Rambam, that you have to be Gadol, Bechachma, person has to be Gadol and Chachma, you have to be Baldeya, you have to have wide knowledge. You have to be able to perceive the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch. So if Devarah was a Neviah, she assumed all of these levels. Where did she come to it? What gave her that kayach? So he says that what was Devarah known for? That Devarah was what's called Devarah Eishes Lapidos. Why was she called Eishes Lapidos? Well, who's Lapidos? So that was her husband. Why? Was his real name Lapidos? No. I don't know what his real name is. But he was called Lapidos because she used to go and she saw he wasn't the Talmud Chacham. It says he was Namaretz. And she wanted him to become somebody. So she used to make wicks for him and twist the wicks. And he would bring those wicks to the base of Migdash, to the Mishkan. And therefore he was known as, they call him Rav Lapidos. He was the Rav Lapidos. He was the one in charge of the wicks. And she was willing to cover up that she was doing all of that. She did that without boasting, without saying it's her. She let him get all of the covet because she wanted to build him up because he obviously wasn't on the madrega that she was. And she wanted to build him up. So she did it for him and he got a shteller in the base, in the Mishkan. And therefore she was called Eishes Lapidos. And he says, in that, doing things about sneus, about snea leches, that's what propels a person to greatness. So you find that when you find really great people, they do great things. But they don't boast about the great things. The great things that they do is things that they do because it's the right thing to do. And halavai, we should all be zoicha to do the things that we do with ehrlichkeit, with refinement, and not to be seen as somebody just does it to show off. So I'd like to say a second, perhaps, understanding of it based upon we were... We were just in Albany doing, and we were on the Aguda, had a mission to Albany to try and get tax credits for all these shivas. You may have heard about it. And we're lobbying and we're going into different assembly members and we're talking to them and trying to get enough members to line up for the bill. Okay. So there was a question in the office, should we go in and bring and video it? It's very nice because people, you know, people want to know what is Agudas Yisrael doing, and we want to go out into the public, and you want to raise money, and so on. So you want to show what your activities are, what you're doing. So somebody said we should bring along a video crew, and we should do that because people will see that we're doing something good. But they nixed it, and the reason they nixed it is because they said when you're going to talk to that assembly member, and you're going to tell them you want tax credits, and this is why you want them, it'll help the yeshivas, and it's good for the public, so whatever your arguments are, he sees an erlicha person, that you really mean l'shem shemayim. The minute you bring in a video camera, he's saying, they're doing it for the publicity. They're not doing it for the erlicha. They're just doing it because they're using me as a prop.
Yeah.
I'm a prop. So they don't want that, even though it would be nice, but you want that person to feel that you're there l'shma, and you're there for them, and that's it. You're not using them in any way to make yourself better. So I think that may be another reason. It says in the Pasuk, it says, Asay stock of a chesed.
We didn't.
So it says, you should do stock and mishpat, vatznei aleches melekecha. So Chazal say, when you say that you do stock and you do mishpat, so Chazal say, what are we talking about? We're talking about hachnasas kala alvayas ameis. And he says, and those are very public things. And still, Chazal say you should do it with tznius. The Pasuk says, "Hatznei alechem akecha." You have to do it with tznius. So you say, "Kal v'chomer." If something which is public, you have to do it with tznius. Something which is private, for sure, you have to do it with tznius. But and what's the reason? So aside from the reason about the person themselves, but you never want a person that you're giving tzedakah to, or a person that you're doing chesed for, to have that feeling that you're using them as your ticket to Olam Haba. That's a terrible thing to do to somebody, a terrible thing that they should have that feeling. And therefore, I think that's another reason why when we talk about when we do a mitzvah, and we do a tznei alechzim lekecha, and when we don't go around as a yid, we feel it's tznius, not boasting, and not going around is the second thing. It's not good for us. And the second thing is not good for the person because of the way they feel. The pasuk is, just to quote the pasuk proper, higilucha adam ma'atoy ma'ashem darish mimcha, what does Hashem want from you? Pasuk in micha, Perek Vav Pasuk Ches, Kim Asois Mishpat, V'Avas Chesed, to do Mishpat and love Chesed, V'Atznei Alechz M'Lekech, and to do it with Tznius. So he says, Ma'u Leches, what does it mean, Leches, to go? It says, Zu Atzos Ameis, V'Achnas Akal V'Lechupa, because it's said by Leches, Toivu Leches El Beis Evel, Mi Leches El Beis Amishta. It's good to go to the Beis Evel, then go to the Beis Mishta. You see, the word Leches is used by Chasnas, and Leches, Rachman Slan, you do by Levias, and therefore we have to know that when we do these things that are public, it should be Atznei Alechazim Lekecha. And Kal V'Chomer, Atznei Alechazim Lekecha has to be when a person does something which is private and not in the public realm, a person always has to be cognizant and careful to do everything that's tznius. And that's then for the two reasons we said, one, for our own, for us, and two, the way it impacts upon other people, that they should not chas v'shalom see us, that we see them as our vehicles for getting into Olam Haba. Sorry. Okay, let's go on to one of the great episodes of Parshas Baloyska. Take a look in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Hey. So we talk about all the episodes of the taiva that suddenly struck Klal Yisrael. Let's start beginning the Perek, learn a few pasukim. Vayomkim misoinim rabos ne'ashem. They were misoinim, they were complaining. Vayishma Hashem, Hashem heard. Vayichar Abba, he was upset. Vativ rabom eish Hashem. Vatayichu b'ktzei amachna. And it was eight in the ktzei amachna. Yesharim erev rab. Yesharim Sanhedrin. For another shir. Vayitzak oim el Moshe. And the nation cries out to Moshe. Vayispal Moshe. And Moshe davs al Hashem. Vatishka eish. Vayikar shem alakum utaveira. Ki barabo eish Hashem. Okay, next episode. The Asafsus, again, the some say it means the Erev Rav, some say it means the Sanhedrin. Who's going to give us bus? Who's going to give us meat? We remember the fish that we ate Mitzrayim for free, and Chazal Rashi brings, do not say for free, because it says the Egyptians charge them for the straw. They're not going to give them the fish for free. It means they're free from mitzvahs. Akshuyim, the cucumbers, the zavatichim, vesa chotzer, vesa betzolim, vesa shum, all these things. Vata, now, nafshen yevesha, our souls are dried out. And kol, we have nothing built there, a money. They know all we have to do is look at this bun. That's all we have. So they were mamish kvetching badly. So the Chazal, mamish have so much to say here, we're just going to say two things. He brings Zacharnu es Hadaga. What does that mean? So he says in the Vardik, where he was in the yeshiva over there, so he says, when a bacher rented a wagon to go to Shir, to go to yeshiva after Ben Azman, when he was going back, he said in the Vardik, we used to talk about what was the bacher thinking, what was the wagon driver thinking, and what was the horse thinking. So he says, the bacher was thinking, I'm going to go to yeshiva, I'm going to learn, I'm going to go up in Madregas, I'm going to Salah. He says, the wagon driver is thinking, oh, I'm going to make a few dollars, I'm going to have nice parnasa to come home to my family. And he says, the horse is thinking, so I can't wait until this is over so they can get me my feed bag and I can eat. See, that's the difference between us and the horse. So he says that he brings from the Chofetz Chaim, he says, that when the Tsar, the Russian Tsar, was put into jail, you know, at the end of when the communists took over, he says that that they were starving him in jail. So in the newspapers, they're making chayzerim, he asked if he can have two more potatoes a day. Because that's, unfortunately, he was reduced to that. This is the great Tsar. And he was reduced to that. So he says, he brings from Reb Chaim Brim. Chaim Brim was one of the G'dayle Rosh Hashivs in the Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim. He's like one of the famous people in Yerushalayim in pre-war, pre-independence Eretz Yisrael. And he says, he once asked the Chazon Ish, this was after that also, he said, he asked him, give me an Eitzah against Taivas Achila. How can I conquer my desire to eat? Now, we also want to know that, but that's because we're on a diet. That's for a different reason. He wanted to know for Kedusha reasons. How do I beat the Taivas Achila? How do I make it that shouldn't consume me? So the Chazon Ish says, listen, I don't know the answer to what you're saying, but I'll tell you one thing. The Ketzais HaChayshin, who was one of the greatest Gedolei Olam, never had this question. Because he was too busy writing his svarim, he was too busy with Kedusha, he wasn't thinking about, you know, should I have my meal, you know, with the onions, should be with the, and he goes through a whole, you know, with the potatoes, how I should have the french fries, where the placement should be. He was busy thinking about the Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. So that's the truth is, it's not a matter of a negative, how I'm not going to eat. It's a matter of having your head on straight, of where you're looking to go. So he says, he brings the Chedusha Rim, it says like this, says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Nimamti lechem lechem in Hashemayim, I'm going to give you lechem in Hashemayim, the first in Shemais, when it's first talking about the mon, V'yotzom v'lok t'dvar yom b'yomo, and I'm, every day they're going to go out, L'man anasenu hayele b'sayrosim loy, I should know whether they're going to go in my Torah or not. So he says, what's that got to do with the mon? They're going to go out and get the mon. So what does it mean, I'm going to know whether going in my Torah, am I going or am I not Torah? What is he trying to tell us? See, he says, when a person eats the mun, what are they thinking? Are they thinking, I'm eating lechem in a shemayim? And they got it as a shayla of making a... When you used to eat mun, they say you used to make a bracha, maitzi lechem in a shemayim. That's what you say. You can't say maitzi lechem. You say, maitzi lechem in a shemayim. That was the bracha he made. So is he seeing it that? Or is he eating it for Taivas Achila? What did he have in mind? And that's what the Rebbe Hashem was saying. I want to know, who are you? Whose side are you on? Are you my side? Are you looking at this as a Kedusha? And the food is something you're going to eat to be malit, to make it something special, to give you kayak to serve Hashem? Are you looking at the food? Is that, are you in the Rebbe Hashem side or are you in the food side? What really galvanizes you? It says that we see this very, very graphically by Adam Rishon. Says the Rebbe Hashem tells the Adam Rishon, he gives a Musar in one word. The one word is Ayaka, where are you? What do you mean to say when he said, where are you? He didn't need to know where he physically is. What he's saying is, where's your head? Is your head with me, or is your head with the Nachash? Whose side are you on? Where are you putting yourself? So he says, can you imagine? Here's the Dor Dea, they're coming out, they came out from Mitzrayim. They got the Torah, they went so high, and now all they care about is the food. all they care about is the toppings. They care about the bus, the batzalim, the onions. You know, when you go to onions, nobody eats, I don't eat onions straight. Onion is something you put on food, a relish, right? So that means you're not even thinking about the food anymore. When you eat the batzalim, you already pay the shum, the garlic. Maybe some people, but you know, you're past the food. You're already onto the relish. So Rebbeinu Shem says, Nebuch, look what happened to these people. It's sad. Rebbeinu Shem was Sabrachan. He says, that's when they said the dog and all of these things. He says, sushi. That's what it said.
Sushi.
I don't want to go there because people eat like sushi. Give me a hard time. So he says, that was what the Rebbeinu Shem was upset about. What?
In Yonah, there's a distinction between dog and dog. So maybe the dog is more flexible.
Is more what?
Maybe it's better. Dogga, you remember?
Maybe the dog, right, the dogga.
Yeah.
So he says, that's what it says. That's what it means in the Laman on the Sun. I'm going to test you. Where are you? Ayaka, where are you? On the Ribbono Shel Olam, or are you just sunk into the Gashmis? And remember, we talk about the Dordeya. So even a little bit of it, by us, I don't know if this would be an Avera, but by them, it was considered an Avera. And what did they say? They say, Nafshenu Yevesha Ein Kol. All we have is the mun, and we're getricking. We can't, it doesn't do anything for us. So listen to what he says, beautiful thing. The Rebbeinu Shem says, in Moshe Rabbeinu said in Devarim, says, Zerabim Shana Shem Lakecha, Imachlo Chasar Tadav, you didn't need anything. You didn't need anything. You had the mun to eat. Simlaskal Balsalecha, you didn't have to, your clothes never wore out. You never, everything was good. So he says, how do they do chesed with each other? How do they do stuck with each other? How did one person help another person? And without doing that, we're nobody. That's who we are as Jews, to help other people. So if everything was done for you, this isn't, we've spoken about this, and the sign of wealth is a sign you don't need anything. I don't need anything, you don't need anything. So how are we going to help each other? So this is what he says, beautiful. He says, there are people daven, and there are people who daven. But how you daven, or how you learn, can be very different one person next. He said one person can be paishrim, can be warm, lukewarm. One person can be hot, and one person can be cold. Doing the same thing. We're all davening, right? See, davening shmenesi, and sometimes you guys going like this, and you know, and the next person like finishes in 10 seconds, the next person down 50. Everybody's different. He says everybody's different. So he says from the Chofetz Chaim, so they said Rav Schwab was once, by the Chofetz Chaim, he was once, literally, he went to Shabbos of Chofetz Chaim, and he had a whole lifetime of drushes from that one Shabbos by the Chofetz Chaim, when he was a bach, he stopped by the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim invited him to stay for Shabbos. So he said, they were sitting Friday night, and the Chofetz Chaim asked Akasha, threw out Akasha at the table, like we like to do, he threw out Akasha, got everybody interested. Chofetz Chaim says, it says that everybody could determine what flavor or what the mun should be. Should the mun be meat? Should the mun be fish? Should the mun be that? He says, what happens if you had no kavana whatsoever? You were blank. You just ate it without thinking. What would be the taste then? Says the Chofetz Chaim, there would be no taste. It would be nothing. You wouldn't have no taste whatsoever. He says, "Shemish lo choshem uma lo tom boy kol tam tafel hoya ad lazara." It would be mamish like nothing. So he says, "Maishra Rabbeinu, when he gave the Torah, so he gave the Torah to give taste. He gave the Torah, and remember the tzchus. Remember the bear was Miriam, the Anani HaKavod were Aaron, and Maishra Rabbeinu was the mun. Tzchus mun was the tzchus of Maishra Rabbeinu. So he says the mun has a lot to do with the Torah. The Torah is called." It's masik mitvash neifas sufim. Torah is like honey. And what does it say about the mun? The mun was like honey. So he says, what do the two have to do with each other? Where do they come together? To show that just like the mun by itself was tough, you can eat it and have no taste, or you can have the most rich taste in the world from it. Any taste you want. But if you have no kavanah, you have no taste. Same thing with the Torah. Torah can be the most rich, impressive thing, but if it has, if you have no tam in it, you can have no taste from it either. And that's in the Soyed. He brings from the Ramchal. The Ramchal says the Torah is like a lump of coal. If you have a lump of coal, he says when you look at just a lump of coal, black and a lump of coal, you blow on it, it starts to glow red. You really blow on it, it bursts into flame. He says that's the way the Torah is. When you look at the Torah, it can be just a black piece of coal. Just be, you don't look at it. It's up to you. The Torah has everything in it. It's up to you to decide how much Torah should come from there. So then the same thing with the mun. He says, this is the chesed that they did for each other. When the person sat with the mun, he would go, you know something? that one, I want you to give it the taste of it. It's like a schmacket piece of steak, and it should have all the trappings. The person says, oh, really? Thank you. Let me think that kavod. The chesed that we're doing is telling people how to taste the mun and how to turn it to something of kedusha. That was it. So Yehudi asa chesim reyu b'dor midbar v'inichos sheyichav eman litom afarsek o tapuach v'nepech l'mamoshim, because it says the halacha was, Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, you can actually make a bracha and you make a bracha achrayna because it turned into a real thing. It wasn't just, you know, a mirage. It actually turns into that thing and you could eat it. So he said, yeah, this he says. So he said, you, with the chesed was that they would give each other ideas on how to taste the mun to make it turn like something.
That was the chesed.
And the same, that was the chesed. He says, that was the chesed they did in the midbar. So that they did it in the same way, that's our chesed with people with Torah. If we have a nice Devar Torah and we tell somebody else the Devar Torah, we give them a geschmack in the Torah, that's how we can help everybody in Torah, and that's what we have in one. Let me just say one more thing about, we have the Maisa of Miriam. So it's interesting that in the Maisa of Miriam, the Torah tells us that she had Saras for 7 days. And the Torah tells us, it says, if a person did something with a parent, Nebuchadnezzar, he says, a father, were her father to spit in her face, would she not be humiliated for 7 days? So let her be quarantined outside the camp for 7 days, and then she may be brought in. So the Chazal ask, if a father's wrath is 7 days, so the Melech Malchem Lachem should be 14 days. Right? A father's seven. This is the king. King should be more than a father. And the Gemara says, explains why it's not like that. Certain Allah. But the question is, why did the Torah use a melitz of a father? Why didn't the Torah say, this the king? She did something that the king said not to do. Why did the Torah use it, an example of a father? So he says, he brings, as he always does, Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky has the, I don't know where he finds this stuff. He always brings these, like, he says, William Howard Taft, the 27th president of the United States, did not have a record as chief executive without distinction. Okay, he was a one-term president. He was sitting at the supper table with his family one evening, as children sometimes do. His son directed a disrespectful remark toward him. Mrs. Taft looked at her husband and exclaimed, I'm sure you will not let that go unpunished. So Taft replied, if he directed the remark to me as President of the United States, I would let it pass. It's his constitutional right. However, as a father to his child, I would surely deal with him. That's the difference. He says, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to teach us an awesome lesson. Yes, what she did was wrong to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but he wanted to show, when you speak Lashon Hara, there's pain involved. There's pain to the person who, not only to the person you're speaking about and the person speaking to, but there's a pain to the father, there's a pain to the parent, there's a pain to the people in the family. Everybody's in pain from what you did. Hashem did not want to rebuke Miriam as master of the universe. He did not use severity to rebuke of the divine presence. Instead, he used a parental analogy. We fail to avoid speaking Lashon Hara because the pain it inflicts on our fellow Jew. I will give you another reason. Worry about the pain we inflict on our Father in heaven when we talk ill of his children. Think about how a parent cries when he sees his children quibble. Remember, it's also Father in heaven. Here's how we talk about our brothers and sisters. So it's a powerful lesson that we have here. Mom's a powerful lesson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu used and said, the master of the universe, but he didn't. He said, a father. To show that a parent is in pain. It's a pasuk. The pasuk says that the melech of the father. It's a gemara that says, why didn't it say that if a father is seven, it should be 14 because we b'nei shalom. He's asking the question, why do we use a melech of a father? Why did the Torah not use melech of the master of the universe? And the answer is, Hashem's telling us a second lesson, and the lesson is that the pain that you cause when you talk Lashon Hara is not about the person, not only about the person you talk Lashon Hara about, but it caused pain to the Ribbono Shel Olam, just like a parent is hurt when his children fight with each other. The Ribbono Shel Olam is hurt when we talk bad about his children. So the Ribbono Shel Olam should help. We should learn the lesson of Shmiras HaLashon and think about the pain. When we think about it, don't just think about the pain that we're causing the person we're talking about, but think about the pain that we're causing the Ribbono Shel Olam. Maybe that will give another reason to stop us in our taiva to speak Lashon Hara.
Where is that?
Thank you so much.
Why?
Okay, so let me talk.